I have a couple of extras if you don't. Okay. Excuse me. You can open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2. We've been camping out in this verse and really on one word in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Father, as we come before your word now, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive. Lord, it has been just a wonderful time of being in your presence and worshiping you. And as we continue, Lord, we pray that even in the reading, the teaching, the preaching, and the hearing of your word, we would be having a heart of worship. Your word is our sustenance, Lord. Your word is our guide. Your word is precious to us. And so I pray that you would minister that word to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, anoint my heart, anoint my mind to speak the truth of your word. Anoint the ears of my brothers and sisters. Anoint their hearts to receive, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for what you desire to do with each one of us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a terrible thing to be weeping and then try to speak because the nose is running, and so excuse me. Acts 2, beginning at the 42nd verse, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. It struck me and a few times that I've been traveling recently and being in a car and listening to a woman's voice telling me where to go. I guess sometimes it can be a man. It really doesn't make any difference. But I just find it astounding that this age of technology that we're living in. I'm a little older than some of you, and I remember from the time I was a little boy, we had an atlas in the car. And I miss the atlas, if you want to know the truth. I love pulling off the road, pulling into a rest stop, and looking at the map. I believe we've got a generation of kids coming up that won't even know how to use the map. And not only is there a voice coming to tell us to do, but just did you think about who is watching us? Millions of cars in thousands of locations, and somebody is telling everybody what to do. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? There's a satellite up there, obviously, that's doing this, and I used to have this this vision of the poor woman just chained there. but she couldn't do that. So this satellite tells you and you and you where to go, and you're all going in different places, and it could be at the same time this person is talking to you. Wow. Continue on your route for 20 miles. In 1 mile, take the exit on your right. At the exit, bear left, turn left at the stop sign. That always throws me a bit because sometimes they don't give that to you quick enough and the street is upon you, you know. You know, something that's blocking the street. But usually it's a few hundred feet. Turn left at the stop sign onto Shady Boulevard. And 2.3 miles, turn right on Desperation Street. And 0.1 mile, turn right on Desperation Street. Turn right on Desperation Street. 400 feet, turn right on Freedom Avenue. Your destination is 300 feet on your right. You have arrived at your destination. Wow. I'm glad now because I don't have a map in the car. And yet, Somebody's telling me how to get where I need to go. And the amazing thing is that we are willing to get into our cars and put that thing on and be told where we are to go. Has anybody ever been set in the wrong direction? Yeah. So it's not infallible, is it? But it's pretty darn good. Millions of people, thousands of locations, all being told where to go. There's no doubt that the creativity and the scientific knowledge that goes about, that went about to, I don't know if it's one person that has done this, but I would imagine many had to work together, but it had to be in somebody's brain that this could be a possibility. And for most parts, it makes the trip pretty easy, doesn't it? Kind of, you can just be mindless, really. And all of a sudden, Lola speaks to you and tells you what to do. I don't know what her name is. I know that other one that talks to you about where's Starbucks or where's this is Suri or Siri. Siri. She's busy too, isn't she? And it's amazing because, because you gotta go to a gas station, proceed to the route. Proceed to the route, you know. As soon as you can, they correct you even. They're watching you. It's kind of scary, isn't it? You have no freedom on the road without this person just really coming down on you. I remember years ago, I think I mentioned this one time up in Rhode Island, first time I'd ever heard Lola speak. And it was in Mark Stoughton's car, and we were going, and there was a sign that said we couldn't enter the highway. And we got past that, and immediately the voice came, as soon as you can, make a legal U-turn. And, you know? Wow. Now here's what I'm going at here. It is amazing that we can trust that somebody is watching out for us. Somebody is telling us where to go. And yet we cannot trust that God sees everything. He's looking down and he sees every person across this globe. And if we're in tune with him, if we're in tune with his word and in tune with his spirit, he speaks to us and he tells us where to go. I think I said this last Sunday when we talked about the eyes. Sometimes he doesn't tell us where to go, and we go where we want to go or where we think we should go, even in ministry, and it doesn't work because he hasn't told us. He hasn't spoken that to us. He hasn't given us the words to speak in that instance. Now, here's the thing about that lady up there who tells us where to go. She does not know what's going on inside the car. Thank God for that. But here's the thing, God does know what's going on inside the car. He knows if you kids are behaving or making it rough on your mom and dad. How many kids are here? Just the Collins kids. Hey. I have a childhood memory of my mother's hand in the backs when we were in the back seat of the car, and back then you didn't have seat belts and it was like a bench, like a sofa back there, and we would wrestle back there. I can still see the back of her hand coming up, flying into the back. Yeah. That was before the satellite, by the way. But even if it happens now, the satellite doesn't see that. You see, God looks down. Not only does he see us, but he knows us. And he doesn't see just where we're going, but he sees the inside of us and why we're going there and what we're doing and how we're doing it. So don't be so impressed by that satellite. Be more impressed by what God is able to do. Last week, the week before, we talked about God sees us. He has his eyes see us. Last Sunday, we talked about our eyes seeing him and the need for us to see him clearly through his word, see him in action, see his spirit at work, see people like you find brothers and sisters rejoicing together, praising the Lord after the service, talking and hugging one another and giving each other the Lord's peace and the Lord's love and grace and all of that that happens. We can only do that with the eyes that He gives us to see in that way. Proverbs 15:3 that we mentioned last week or the week before, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. We get way too anxious about what's going on in the world, and we forget. And Michael, I know you've been in those places. God sees the evil that's going on, and God sees the good that's going on. The evil will be judged. There will be a time when judgment will be passed upon evil, and that day will come. And then there's the wonderful Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all his paths." I've just been thinking about that one all week. He ponders, and it means that he keeps watch on our paths. He makes the path level. He watches carefully. Wow. I don't know if I understand that enough, that He is watching carefully everything that I do, everywhere that I go. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all his paths. He ponders one's way of life. He's watching carefully our way of life. And then 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those who are loyal to Him." And I talked to you about that Sunday before, about loyalty, how much we love when people, our friends, are loyal to us, and when they're not loyal to us, what happens? But He makes us strong. In our weaknesses, He is strong on behalf of those that are loyal to Him, those that love Him, those who are His sheep. How many of you are sheep this morning? Raise your hands, please. Doesn't mean you're stupid. Just means you need help. That you can't proceed through this life without the shepherd who's leading you and guiding you and opening the door and bringing you into the fold and then going out. He's the door even. He opens the door and He stands and He calls you all by name. He's intimately acquainted with each one of us. So last week we talked about our eyes and the scripture that really keeps coming to me, and we all know it, fixing our eyes, some versions say looking unto the author and perfecter of our faith, but I like the fixing our eyes better on. Because when you fix your eyes, when I fix my eyes on one of you right now, Mary, 80 years old, I'm fixing my eyes on you and I say, God bless you. God keep you. Thank you for the years that I've known you. You know what I mean? Fixing our eyes. But, and unless we fix our eyes on Him, we're gonna go astray. That's why the prodigals are where they are, because they stop fixing their eyes on Jesus. They begin to look out into the world. And they wandered away. And they're sheep. They're lost. Without a shepherd to guide them. We have that cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, all those heroes of the faith that we read about in the Bible in chapter 11 there of Hebrews, and we looked at that. So we've got those two elements that we've talked about, His eyes and our eyes. Important, isn't it? To know that His eyes are upon us and for us to have our eyes fixed upon Him. There's the intimacy of relationship that is established, but there's another part to that. And element number three we're going to look at right now today is the ears of our Lord. The ears of our Lord. Not only do His eyes see everything about us, but His ears are attuned to every word that we speak, every cry of our heart. David was the one who more than anybody else, at least we read in Scripture because of the Psalms that he wrote, he was constantly crying out to the Lord. But he knew that the Lord heard him. I think David had the advantage of being a shepherd, and he knew what it was like to have sheep, and he knew that when he called his sheep, they would come and they would follow him. So it's important for us to understand that he hears us. He makes our, can I just say something? He makes Lola like a speck. I'm sorry to keep calling her Lola, but maybe I should have a better name for her, Jane, whatever. She's but a speck compared to what God does. Lola, by the way, doesn't hear us, so she's way down the totem pole. You ever been around somebody? And I'm gonna have a little confession time here. I don't want to embarrass my daughter, but my daughter used to talk and she was aware that I wasn't listening. I now know, and I don't know if I've repented before you publicly, but I'm doing it now. You have ears to listen. And he is constantly, his ears are constantly listening to us. Nothing escapes him. Every cry that you have made, every prayer that you have prayed is actually, according to Scripture, it's in the throne room. It's incense in the throne room, the prayers of the saints, right? How many of you are saints in this room? You can raise your hands. Don't be embarrassed. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, saints, I'm speaking to you, okay? But you see, sometimes you can be with those people who do all the talking and you can't get in a word edgewise. Some of us may have that in our families too, you know. What happens is in that relationship where there's no longer listening, the relationship will eventually go south. I have no right before God to really, I didn't listen to him for 20 years. And yet in a moment in time, I came home and it was because he was listening to the prayers of my parents and probably others. Don't stop praying because he is always listening to you. He hears the cry of your heart. It's imperative that we believe this truth, not only that we believe it with our minds, but within our souls. Let me, you're probably saying again, what has this to do to prayer? It has everything to do with prayer. The fact that he sees me and he sees you and he hears me is what prayer is all about. Without that knowledge that he hears me, I truly have no intimacy with him. If I don't believe that he hears me, what's the point of praying? And many of you have been praying for years for certain things as I have, and they have yet to materialize. They have yet to be answered. It doesn't mean that he's not hearing. Here's what it means. Listen to me carefully. It means there's an appointed time. There's a moment that he knows about. See, we want it now, don't we? I've wanted it now for 20 years in the case of my oldest child, and yet there is a moment in time that it happened. Trust God that he has that moment on his mind and on his heart. The need to listen and to speak to God. Proverbs 20 and verse 12 has or gives us a word that is very pertinent to this matter. And before I read that proverb, I want to remind us of something. We are created in God's image, okay? Why do you have ears and why do you have eyes? Think about that for a moment. It's because God has. If you read it in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he said, let us create man in our image. If he didn't have eyes and he didn't have ears, you and I would be walking around with just a blob on top of our shoulders. But we have eyes and ears because he has eyes and ears. He created us in his image. However, His eyes are far superior to ours. I can't see my house down the road, but I know it's there. But I can't see it. God can see it because he sees everything. His ears are far superior to ours. His ability to see all, his ability to hear all is beyond. Every cry of his children throughout the world coming to him all at once. Have you ever been in a room and tried to listen to two conversations at once? Maybe I'm talking to Bill here, but this other Bill is talking to someone over there, and I'm trying to listen to you, but I also am very curious about what he's saying. You ever try to do that? There are people, by the way, I met somebody once that could do that. He could hear up to three conversations and tell you what they were. But that's not normal. In fact, I would tell you it's not advisable. I think that would probably be the cause of nightmares at night. Proverbs 20:12. Oh, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Okay? Created in his image, so he's created us to have eyes and ears like he has. Now I'm wondering if before the fall, what the eyes and ears of Adam and Eve were like. I know one thing, her eyes were opened to evil by the devil. And remember this about that, that it was very beautiful to look at, right? That's a different subject, so don't let me get sidetracked here. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 10. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18. Psalm 10, verses 16 through 18. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Can somebody read me a different version that what it says there? Instead of you will cause your ear to hear. You listen to their cry, right? I'm puzzled by this cause thing here, but really what it means to listen carefully, to pay close attention. It's God's desire. It is his will to listen. So not only does he hear, does he listen to us, but it's his desire to listen to us. Think about that the next time you go to pray. He's up there just waiting to have a conversation with you. Not only for you to speak to him, but to listen to him. Do not be afraid of silence in a prayer time. In our prayer time downstairs, it was wonderful. There was a moment of silence that just fell over us, and to me it was glorious because I was hearing from the Lord. So he causes his ear. All right, here's what we're going to do. In the time that we have left, and the sermon is in your outline, by the way. I'm just going to amplify a little bit on it. Take it home, meditate on Psalm 94. All right. How many of you want to be intimate with God? I didn't even look up to see. I believe that every person in this room, Lord, wants to be intimate with you. And so I pray now that as we open this psalm that you will speak to us, that you will give me utterance, Lord, that our hearts will be attuned to what the psalmist says. We don't know who he wasn't David. We don't know who it was, but I thank God. I thank you, God, for him and his illumination of what it means that you have ears to hear. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 94. Let's read verses 1 through 3. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? Love how the psalmist repeats that there. You ever do that? in your prayers, when you're just feeling desperate, you go, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please. It's very easy to fall into the thought, the outlook of the writer of this psalm. And we can know and we can have knowledge that vengeance belongs to the Lord. If you look back to Deuteronomy, we don't have time to turn there, but I think it's in your bulletin. Deuteronomy 1:32 and 35, it's quoted by Paul in Romans 12:9. Paul goes on to say in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Boy, that's a difficult one, isn't it? The wicked are seemingly triumphing over the good. And that's not hard to take, is it? I don't know about you, but I have a problem, and I know some of you in this room do. When you see evil happening, you want to stand up and you want to come against it. And some are called to do that. We have people in the military that are called to do that. But I believe that there's not a person in this room that hasn't had a moment where you wanted just to really haul off. And if you didn't hit them, you wanted to speak a word to them that would just crush them. In this psalm that we're given here, there's a right approach. And it's in his very first words that we find the key. And this is it, brothers and sisters. Key number one in prayer is to seek God's ear. I don't pray because I think he might hear me. I know that he hears me. But there are many times when I don't seek his ear, when I should seek his ear, when I'm in a difficult situation and I think I'm going to resolve it. You know, there's a simple word that you can say to him, help. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I know you hear me. And so I'm going to seek your hearing me. But see, the psalmist knows this. He knows, first of all, he knows, O Lord, God to whom vengeance belongs, O God to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. I'm reminded of that time that Jesus was speaking about being the bread of heaven. And in John 6, verse 66, it tells us, and he said other things there, but at that moment it says, many of his disciples, this word was too hard for them, many of the disciples walked away from him. And then there's this wonderful moment when Jesus said to the 12, it's always kind of like, what a moment that must have been. I mean, you can't take that lightly. He says, do you want to go away? You want to go away? And what did Peter say? Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's enough to make me want him to hear. His words are of eternal life. His words give us life. His words give us strength. His words give us comfort. They're everything that we need for life and godliness. We hear from him. So first key thing is seek God's ear. I've already said to you, and we've read in Scripture, he hears every cry throughout the world. He hears you this morning. He knows your need. He knows what's going on in your life. So seek his ear. Number two, be honest with him. Look at verse 3. Lord, how long will the wicked, triumph? He's not asking that to find a date and time that the end is going to come to this. He's experiencing that. How many of us are experiencing what's going on in the world right now? I don't know about you, but when I look at the news, sometimes I weep. And I do ask him, how long, Lord, is this going to go on? When are you going to return, Lord? When is your vengeance going to take place on this? And there's moments where you're crying out to him. But see, the psalmist here is being very honest with the Lord. You know, Don't make flowery speeches when the garden stinks. All right? Sometimes we think we have to just, you know, make it all sound good and make it beautiful. And you know what? He sees right through that. Because see, he sees your heart and he knows you're being dishonest with him. So number two, the key is to be honest with how you feel. Number three, look at verses 1 and 2 again. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth, rise up, O judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. See, he's speaking to God because he knows who God is. And what he's doing is asking God to perform his wonders. Hey. Do you want victory in your life? Are there things that are coming against you? Well, do you know who he is? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the captain of your salvation. He's the one who moves on your behalf. Ask him knowing who he is. Number four. Let's read verses 4 through 7. And here he's speaking again about what's going on in the world around him. They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and they afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. I want to be careful how I say this, but don't, in the times that we're going through, don't bury your head in the sand. Be aware of what's going on around you. It may be in your workplace. It may be in the school that you attend. It may be wherever you go. There are things going on around you. And you really need to be aware of it. You need to have wisdom and discernment as you face these things. And the psalmist here is very aware. I love verse 7. He says, these people that are doing all this wickedness, yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. See, he knows who God is. And he knows these people are denying God. They're denying that he even exists. They're denying that he doesn't see, he doesn't understand anything, he doesn't hear. You ever been around somebody like that? So don't have your heads in the sand. Be aware of what's going on in your environment. Now, here it takes a wonderful turn. It's almost like he comes out of the prayer closet and addresses this crowd. Look what it says. Understand, you senseless among the people and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, should he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs or corrects the nations or the Gentiles, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. See, he knows the actions that God takes. And he knows the wise counsel of the Lord. And he's speaking, it's a rebuttal to those people that are doing evil. I think we need some lessons there on discernment, on wisdom, on how to address those things that are, maybe they were little things like things that are said in our presence. I play racquetball and for years they would apologize to me if a foul word came up because they all know I'm a pastor, so they would apologize, and I would always say, hey, you know, you need to talk to God about that, not to me. Actually, many of them still don't use foul language, and when they do, they kind of, that's all right, okay. Key number five is to know that God takes action and he gives wise words, which are what are given to the psalmist here as he addresses the people. He hears, he sees, he instructs, he corrects, he teaches man knowledge. Knowledge that bears fruit into eternity. He knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. That last word there in verse 11. And the word is hebel. It means vain, vanity, emptiness, meaninglessness, and idols. See, a life without Christ is what? It's meaningless. It's futile. And it is vanity. Key number 6. Now what happens, it seems that the psalmist is going back into the prayer closet. How many of you have seen War Room? I ask that every Sunday. It's probably gone from the theaters now. Prayer closet, War Room. Let's read what he says here. Verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Look at verse 13. That you may give him rest or relief from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off or abandon his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. I think he's in the prayer closet there. He's blessing the Lord, and then he's just, you ever do that with prayer where you start say, Lord, you're just marvelous, the things you do, the things that you're doing, this has happened, and I know that you're going to do this in that situation, and you go carry on like that? Carry on. He praises God for who he is and what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. And I don't know, Mark verse 12 or verse 13 is a life verse. I think 12 and 13 together. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. How many of you are aware that if you ever have those days where you just don't get around to reading the Word? It's very seldom happens to me anymore, but if it does, man, I don't have rest. I'm faced with things and places, and all of a sudden my soul is churning, my heart is, my mind is, you know, and I feel miserable. Be in that prayer closet, knowing that he hears you every day. That's number six. Did I miss one? Did we just do six?
No,
I'm on number seven now. Okay. Yeah, he continues here. And now it's really just a testimony as to God's faithfulness. And I love this section here. So let's look at it carefully. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Good questions, huh? But look at the answer. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. Let me stop there a moment with that silence. The word there is duma. D-U-M-A-H, and it refers to death. My soul would have died. Entered into that permanent silence where I'm dead unless the Lord had helped me. Psalm 115 and 17 says, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. Well, he goes on, if I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. And the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. What is the key here? It's saying, read the key, number seven here, is it saying, you and you alone are the one who sustains me. You and you are the one who comforts me. You and you alone are the one who strengthens me. You and you alone, just keep going with that, praise him with that. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He's holding him up. The Lord is holding him up. Multitude of anxieties within me. Your comforts delight my soul. Finally, number 8. And let's read verses 20 through 23. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteousness and condemn innocent blood. But here it is. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. Label that as a life verse. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Go back to verse 1 of this psalm. Who does the vengeance belong to? To the Lord. No matter what is going on in your life and in my life, if we will know that He's sovereign, that He's in control of everything, we'll be a lot better off, won't we? Do we understand that? I'll be truthful with you. I think I understand it. But let me ask you a further word beyond understanding it. Are you living that? Are you experiencing that day to day in your life? The knowledge that He is in control. So let's just quickly, number 1, seek God's ear. Number 2, be honest about how you feel. In other words, be vulnerable with God. Number 3, ask God, knowing who He is and what He does, to perform His wonders. Number 4, pray, being aware of what is going on in your vicinity or in the world. Let me just say one thing about that. I don't think there's a person in this room that there's not some sort of turmoil going on around you, whether it be in your home, whether it be in the workplace. And certainly, we're living in a world that's full of turmoil. So be aware of that. Where am I? Number 5, pray knowing that God takes action and He speaks wise words. Number 6, praise God for who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. Number 7, remember as you pray to Him, Lord, it is in You and You alone. You are my refuge. You are my rock. You are the one I run to. You are the one that takes me in my hour of turmoil and gives me rest. That is beyond compare. And number 8, Lord, You're in control. You are my defense. You are my God. You are my refuge. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, in these days in which we're living, that You will draw us more and more into intimacy with You. I pray that we would understand these keys to prayer. I thank You for the psalmist that wrote these words, inspired by Your Holy Spirit. And at the same time, he was totally honest with You about where he was and what he felt. So Lord, help us to be honest with You. Help us to cry out. Help us to praise You. Help us to be thankful to You. Help us to have the knowledge that You are at work. Help us to know in the midst of the days that we're living in, Lord, that You are fully, fully, fully in control. You know the beginning, You know the middle, and You know the end. I pray the blessing of this word to each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Lord, may it bear fruit in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.